Good. Great to have your Bibles open at Romans 5 from verse 12. We're going to have a look at it. We're picking up our series again in Romans after a short break. So let's pray. Let's ask for God's help as we come to his word. Father, please calm our hearts and open our minds to the truth of your word now. We pray that you would speak and we would listen, that we wouldn't just listen, that we would hear your voice and be changed, that we would see how great it is to be in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I don't know about you, but I love before and after stories, the new and the old, stories of people who have had their lives radically changed. Usually, the before and after is trying to sell us something. A weight loss program, an exercise machine, an investment strategy, a new cuddly blanket that will make your sleep perfect and change your life. And the strategies work when they show the before and after, don't they? They work because they're showing us results. I don't know if you've heard of Noom. Has anyone heard of Noom weight loss program? Shows the old large life, sometimes quite a robust individual, and then quite a trim individual. And apparently if you use Noom, it works. The results speak for themselves. There's the Abmaster Pro. Anyone got an Abmaster Pro? I don't, obviously. You go from the flabby tummy life to the Abmaster life. Investment companies hold out a huge golden egg, and it starts as a tiny little egg and it becomes this humongous big egg that will change your potential new you. And we love the before and after story because we can see ourselves in it. We see the potential and we long to be changed ourselves. Each before and after is a potential new you. There's the before you and there's the after you. And it's the same with God and us. God operates in the before and after realm. Actually, he specializes in it. He specializes in taking people from an old life to a new life, a before you to a new you. And that is what we have here in Romans chapter 5. We have two realms of life. Contrasted the old new and the new you. And we see that the old new lives a certain way, follows certain things, and has a certain conclusion. And the new you lives a certain way, follows certain things, and has a certain conclusion. And the two realms in this passage are characterized by two figureheads, Adam and Christ. The two realms, and they're often in this passage called different things. One is the trespass and the gift. They're called the realm of Adam and the realm of Christ. Here's a summary for you of it. The realm of Adam is characterized by sin and death and condemnation. And the realm of Christ is characterized by grace and life and justification. So let's get into it. I've got a nice little table for you because this flows quite nicely down. The first thing we see is in the old life of Adam, there is sin and death. But in the new life in Jesus, there is superabundant life and grace. Have a look there from verse 12 of Romans 5. Therefore, so when you see a therefore, you've got to always ask, what's the therefore, therefore? The therefore, you've never heard that? Have I said that before? I might have. The therefore is there for connecting what we've just seen. And a refresher is that in the beginning of chapter 5, we've seen that God has made enemies friends. He has reconciled people through the death of Jesus on the cross. Up until now, it's been righteousness language, justification language, and he brings it back in this passage. But in the beginning of chapter 5, there's friendship language. And Paul is going to now explain how that looks for an individual in one of two realms. Therefore, verse 12, have a look again. Just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, In this way, death came to all people because all sinned. Adam sinned, death resulted, all people die because all people sin. To be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not charged against anyone's account when there's no law. That is, sin existed before the law, the Ten Commandments, came in, but it wasn't held to account. You don't understand your sin unless God tells you it's sin. But it's still sin, but you're not accountable for it if you're not told about it. Verse 14, keep going. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command. They didn't have a special word from God, but they still sinned. Even those over those who did not sin by breaking a commandment, as did Adam, who was a pattern of the one to come. That word there is prototype. He is the one who sets the pattern for the new Adam to come. Adam is sets it up for us to understand Jesus. Let's keep going. There's a lot in there. Verse 15. But the free gift is not like the trespass. And here we start to see that these realms are not equal. They're not. He's not contrasting two equal realms here. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace overflow and the gift that came by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, overflow for the many? Literally abounded for the many. They're not equal realms. Verse 16. There's a lot in there. Keep with me. Nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin. The judgment follows one sin, brought condemnation. The gift followed many trespasses. That's our sins. The gift was for our sins, but brought justification. Okay, let's take a breath. What does this mean? Paul is contrasting the two realms, and he's saying, this is how they came to be. This is the difference between them, and this is why it matters for you right now. Adam disobeyed God. Sin came into the world. Sin resulted in death because sin was in the world. Death came. When you turn your back on the God who made you, death results. But did you see in verse 12, Adam is responsible for his sin, but he's not responsible for yours. You can't blame Adam for your sin because, verse 12, all people die because all people sin. So we can't blame Adam for our sin. You sin, therefore you turn away from God, therefore you die. Paul takes a little sidetrack now into the works of the law, and he does that because he's dealing with mainly Jews, and he always wants to explain the gospel in terms of the law. He says, before the law was given, that's the Ten Commandments with Moses, verse 13, sin was still in the world, but it wasn't reckoned, it wasn't accounted when there was no law, because the law shows that you break it. If I'm cruising down the road in my car, my 200 series Land Cruiser, which has cruise control, so I always make sure it's on the speed limit. If it's an 80 zone, but there's no sign telling me it's an 80 zone, and I'm going 110, am I breaking the law? Yeah, I'm still breaking the law, but do I know it? No, because there's no sign telling me. As soon as the sign comes up, I understand now I'm breaking it. You see, death was still the end of people, whether there's a law or not, from Adam to Moses. From the beginning of time, the law was given, even over those who didn't sin by breaking the law. That is, before the law came in, people still sinned because they were following Adam's line. So what does all this mean? Just bring it all together. In this first section, in the realm of Adam, sin and death entered. Not a good start for this realm, right? What else happened? Well, let's contrast it. There's a big but. Did you see it? Where's the big but? Verse 15. But the free gift is not like the trespass. They're not equal. If many died through the one man's trespass, how much more did God's grace and the free gift that came by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abound for the many? Now, key phrase in this section, much more. Did you see it? Paul's saying that Christ's realm is super abundant compared to the realm of Adam. It's much more because the trespass, the realm of Adam, the old life, will just lead you to death. the realm of Christ breaks into the realm of sin and death and leads to life. But here's the problem. How do you get from one realm to the other? Well, you have to have grace. You and I can't break into the new realm without grace. I once got caught in a rip at Scarborough Beach. It was pumping, the surf was going off, so I went in body surfing, because I haven't found a surfboard big enough for me. So body surfing. And I knew the rip was there, but I got caught in it anyway. And all of a sudden, I just couldn't get in, no matter how hard I swam. I needed someone to break into the rip and bring me out. And that is what Jesus does with grace. One realm is trapped and ending. The other realm literally super abounds with grace. There's so much grace that Paul's trying to say it's super abundant amount, more than you need. I think I've quoted Scrooge McDuck before, but I always think about Scrooge McDuck when I read this section, because when Scrooge McDuck puts all his gold into his vault, there's an amazing little picture of him jumping into the vault to dive and swim in the gold, which would hurt, right? But when he does, the gold explodes out the windows and the doors. Just bang, out it goes. That is the picture of God's grace. Exploding out of the doors. You cannot, there's too much of it. It's super abundant. And that's what Jesus does. It's super abundant life and grace. The picture here is of so much grace that you don't know what to do about it. It's much more. In the realm of Adam is like some of our old chickens. We used to have old chickens, silkies. They were disgusting creatures. Actually, they're just very, very expensive eggs, right? Chickens? We've got different chickens now, but these two silkies, one was producing eggs and the other one wasn't. And this other one was very sick and died. I probably got this story wrong, but don't ask my wife afterwards. One chicken produced nothing. It looked all right for a while, but then its feathers started falling off and it died. The other one just kept producing eggs. We couldn't get rid of the eggs. That's a bit like these two realms. One looks okay for a little while. Most people in the world we live in the old life in Adam. It's okay for a little while. The other one is producing ridiculous amounts. Much more grace, much more forgiveness, much more life exploding. You see what the result is? Let's move on. The result of each realm. In the old realm of Adam, it brings judgment and condemnation. But the new life in Jesus brings justification. Have a look at verse 16. The free gift is not like the result of one man's sin. They're not the same. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the gift following many trespasses brought justification. They're not equal realms. One is like a bushfire. A friend of mine lit a fire in the bush next to our school. He was flicking these matches and all of a sudden it just went up and he ran away and the fire engine came. Just a small match just exploded this huge bushfire. That's what Adam's sin does. It produces judgment and condemnation spreading to the whole world. Adam's sin is like that spark. The results are deadly. But here's the thing about his realm. Who gets condemned for your sin in the old realm? You do. You rightly and I rightly get condemned for our sin. That's our default. In the realm of Jesus, who gets condemned for our sin? He does. The judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the gift following many trespasses, that's our sins, brought justification. When Jesus dies for us, he takes your punishment in full. The old realm brings judgment and condemnation. So we go back to this law court language. Remember, a few weeks ago we were looking at the law court language, and Paul has talked a lot about law court language, and the picture is of you and I in the dock, and God is the judge, and we're about to be sentenced for our sin. And all of a sudden Jesus stands up and says, hang on, I've already taken the punishment for this guy in full. And so what does the judge say? Not guilty, even though you are. This one has its punishment already taken. That is justification. That is the new realm in Christ. So I suppose the question, as we contrast these two realms and try and work out what this is meaning, is who takes the punishment for your sin? Who's going to be condemned? You or Jesus? There's only two options here. The old life in Adam is of sin and death, results in judgment and condemnation. The new life in Jesus is superabundant in life and grace, more than you need, and brings you justification. But finally, there's something, this is all amazing stuff, right? But probably stuff we've already known, and we're going through stuff that you're thinking, Matt, we've heard this 100 times. Great, because it's so amazing. We need to keep hearing it. But here's the most amazing thing. In the realm of Adam, death reigns in life right now. But in the realm of Jesus, you reign in life through him. Have a look there. It's quite amazing. Something Paul just slips in there in verse 17. For if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Therefore, consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so one act of righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. The law brought in so that trespass might increase, so that we could see sin as sin. Where sin increased, grace increased all the more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life to Jesus, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you see what God is saying to us this morning? There are only two realms in which you can live as you walk out this door, and every single person on this planet lives in one of these two realms. One is characterized by sin and death, and it leads to condemnation, rightly, for their sins. The other is characterized by grace and life and brings justification, but they're not equal. One swallows up the other. Where sin increased, grace increased all the more. I don't know if you ever thought of yourself as ruling, as reigning. I don't see any crowns on anyone's heads. There were no royal processions as you walked in church today. Did you see how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through Jesus Christ? Do you see what this means? If you're a Christian, you reign over sin, over death, over condemnation. How does that possibly happen? You rule over your sin, you rule over your death, you rule over your condemnation. Only through what? Through one man, Jesus Christ. He rules over sin, over death, over condemnation. Therefore, if you are in Christ, you rule over them too. Isn't that ridiculous? So what does that mean? That means I walk out of here ruling without fear of death, without fear of sin taking me down, without fear of being condemned for my sin. I'm free. Where sin increased, grace increased all the more. It superabounded. How did it do it? If you look at the world, sin is ruling. It's killing people. It's leading people to death. And then Jesus steps in and kills it on the cross. One act of righteousness. That's the cross. One man's obedience made the many righteous. That's his obedience to the point of death on a cross for your sins. And he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he knows the answer. It's for you. How does grace superabound? By swallowing up your sin. Jesus doesn't just contrast his realm with Adam's. He kills it. He swallows it up in victory. It's a bit like a documentary I was watching a while ago of sharks and whales, and there was this, they were killer whales, and they were circling around and eating a whole bunch of little fish. It was quite amazing, like 2 or 3 meters long, and they were just swallowing these things up whole, and it was terrible. It made me think, far out, I don't want to be swimming there. And all of a sudden, a huge humpback whale just came in, 15 meters long. I can't do whale. And it dwarfed those little sharks. They scattered. And he opened his mouth. That's what Jesus does on the cross. Sin? Nah. Death? Nah. Condemnation? Got it all. It's ridiculous. Jesus steps in and swallows your sin on the cross. One act of righteousness swallows it all. So what do we do with this? Two realms. One is ruled and reigned by sin and death. And the other is ruled by Jesus. When you go to a funeral of someone who spent their life in the realm of Adam, which I've been to many, you probably have too, you can see that death is supreme there. Try to make the best of it. It's a very sad time. Death rules. It reigns. People who live in the realm of Adam live without God personally in their lives. It might be you. Death has control, can take you at an instant, and it shapes your life. I better make the most of this life. I better get everything I can out of this life. Death's coming. I'm not getting any younger. Time's running out. I better do my bucket list. That's living in the realm of Adam. That's allowing death to make your decisions. But Christians, we rule over sin and death. We don't make decisions based on that anymore. We make decisions based on Jesus. We rule over sin because he rules. We rule over death because he rules it. Can you see how amazing it is to live in the realm of Jesus? As we walk out today, we are free from sin and death and condemnation. Death no longer rules us. We ought not fear it. We ought not make our decisions based on it. We ought not be shaped by it. Well, let's finish up. There's two things here for us. You know, firstly, it is possible to say that you are in Christ, but actually be in Adam. It is actually possible for you to say, I am a Christian, but you're not. And the test is, how do you make your decisions? Do you think about Jesus? Do you trust Jesus? The proof's in the pudding here. Everyone who comes to Jesus by faith will be saved. But test your life. Have a look and see. It's possible for you to be wandering around saying, oh yeah, I'm a good Christian, I go to church, I give a little bit. But Jesus has no influence upon your daily life. And actually, sin and death are scary enough that you're shaping your life around them. you need to come to Jesus. To be transferred into the realm of Jesus Christ is to trust his death on the cross for your sins and to be saved. And then to shape your life by Jesus. You can say you follow Christ, but actually be following Adam. Secondly, it's impossible for you to be following Christ and to live a consistent lifestyle of Adam. You cannot be a Christian and have no Jesus in your life. It's impossible. Now, I know most of us have Jesus transforming our lives, and that's praise God for that. But it is possible to kind of slip over and start smelling a little bit like Adam and not Jesus. You see, an apple is always an apple. It can hang out with oranges all at once. Might even start smelling like an orange, but you're an apple. If you've been saved by Jesus, you are his. 100% certain. But if you try and be an orange too long, you're going to start smelling like one. If you're a Christian, trust Jesus. Follow Jesus. Don't let sin and death rule you. You rule them in Jesus Christ. There's two realms. One is characterized by sin and death and leads to condemnation and rules your life. The other is superabounding in grace and leads to justification. And you rule in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for your word to us this morning. Thank you for rescuing us out of the realm of Adam and into the realm of Jesus. Thank you that your grace is superabundant. Thank you that you love us. And Jesus died for our sins. We pray that as we go out, that we would trust Jesus with our lives, that we wouldn't live our lives as if we were in the realm of Adam, but we'd live in Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. We pray in his powerful name. Amen.